Hey fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson
and Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip from our show, Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast, with guest Miss Peppermint.
Yes, and if you're in Oklahoma City, November 19th through the 21st, Corinne Fisher and I are going to be at Bricktown Comedy Club, Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, November 27th and the 28th. We will be at Magoobies. Now, please enjoy this excerpt of our interview with Miss Peppermint.
And stay tuned for tomorrow because you're getting two episodes of Guys We Fucked Woo! This week. There's a Halloween episode coming out, and that one you don't even got to subscribe for.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
But I do want to tell you about the best sex I've ever had, especially since that's the name of my new single, Best Sex.
Yes, we were listening to it.
It was this last relationship that I was in. The first night we met, of course, okay, so here's the deal. I'd started a new job and I was flirtatious and kind of really needed some attention and was really kind of infatuated with a coworker who kind of rejected me at the last minute in the, at the 11th hour. And that sent me into like a mental tailspin. It was a big night planned.
Oh no.
And then on the way out the door, you know,
canceled
and really took the air out of my tires.
Oh yeah, that's sad. Especially when you prep for it and you're like,
yeah, hello. I was like getting all together. I was like, darling. So I was all gussied up, nowhere to go. I was like flailing. I was like, and I was also, it was the entire situation was new to me, the job, the situation, everything was just new. And so I was like, I don't know where to go. I don't have any friends. And so then I was like, I'm going to get on this app and swipe right. And whoever, the first person that swipes right is coming over. That was basically my mindset.
Yeah.
And so this guy messages me and we, you know, we trade a couple pictures. I'm like, okay, come get on over here. Cause love isn't real and I hate everything. So just get over here. And he came over. Okay, he gave me the runaround. Of course, he was he was late. He was like an hour late. I was like, "Where are you? Because you're about to get replaced. Because you don't mean anything, and all you are a penis. And you need to get over here because I'm all ready, and I won't be ready in an hour." And so he's an hour late, and he's messaging. He's like, "I'm finally on my way." I'm like, "What's going on?" He's like, My neighbor, my landlady or whatever has a raccoon and I had to get the raccoon. I'm like, this is midnight. We're getting a raccoon night. Honey, shut up and get over here.
Yeah.
Stop lying. And so he came over and it was, honey,
ooh.
I forgot all about that raccoon.
Wow.
it was heavenly.
And what about it? Like,
The physical attract, there was very, it's hard to explain, but like, I think there's a lot in, at least when as a trans person, I don't know. I think as a trans, okay, I know as a trans person, I think also as a queer person, like gay folks, but, and I don't know about cis hetero people, but I imagine so. There's so much mental stuff that goes on during sex, which is why half these guys break down in tears because like, they're so weak.
Agreed.
For me, sometimes sex is about, unfortunately, about reassuring who I am, and kind of propping up my womanhood. I hate to say that, but there's an element of that. And I think the same for my partners that I've experienced.
Okay.
Them wanting me to do, to perform in a way that feels more, across more feminine so that it can enhance their masculinity and vice versa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if there's too much of that, then it becomes not about the connection. It's just, it's just performative, right? And then by the other token, we wanted to be vulnerable and open, kind of down for whatever. I'll explore, you explore, we'll see what happens. This encounter was the perfect balance of all of that.
That is the best.
It was wonderful. And afterwards, and I'm still like, I was like, okay, the good swipe, that I'm glad. Okay, you need to go because I hate everything. Like I was still in that mindset.
Yeah.
And he was like, No, 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 no.
Aw.
She's like, let's stay, let's cuddle, let's Aww. Just talk. And I was like, you know. And we talked all night. And it usually, to be honest, if it's just a, you know, a jump off, I'm not really that, I'll talk, I'm talkative, you know, very general with giving information about myself, you know. Yeah. I'm not like, you can find me on Peppermint Too. I don't do that. Yeah. I just say, you know, hey, I live in New York, I work in nightlife, and yeah. And so yeah. That's usually where I was. With him, I was like, you know what? I actually made the decision. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let this conversation go where it goes, and I'm going to just be 100% honest.
Oh,
I'm gonna
yeah.
just try that.
Yeah.
And I did, and we were. And we were together for a year.
Oh, that's oh so my God. Nice.
What a story.
When the levels, what you're talking about, because I do relate, like, in the way of when I, because I haven't had sex in so long, so I especially, like, understand it. Like, the last couple times I've had sex are a distant memory, but it did make me feel like a woman in this, like, I walk different after I have sex. My face yeah. rests differently. And it's uh-huh. like, and I, because I love, I'm reading this book about honing in your psychic abilities. And they talk about, you know, everybody has these multiple sides to them. Every, you know, cisgender women, like I have a masculine side that I love playing yeah. with, and I love indulging in my feminine side. And it's not, they're not, the two aren't always, you know, 50-50 all the time. And sometimes it's 80-20 and it's just really fun. But when the person sexually that you're having sex with has the same back and forth as you and it fits, it's that like, is the fucking, if you could bottle that up, you'd be a billionaire.
That's the goal. That yeah. is the goal.
It's the best feeling in the world because you feel like you're, it's like the safety of to be vulnerable, to come like you're a goddamn barnyard animal, like, and not mm-hmm. be in your body or be in your head, but rather mm-hmm. be in your body. It's the best. Oh, that's so, oh,
I
wow.
agree.
What yeah, a good what story.
kind of piggybacking off of that a little bit and how you just were being very open, and we appreciate that about, you know, kind of needing to feel sometimes like almost more hyper feminine. Is there anything that you feel you've learned, like positively helps you or negatively, I suppose, from having time presenting as a male in the world that you carry with you into now presenting as a woman? Because I often think, like, would I navigate the world differently if I had had that experience? And, or do you think about that? Or is that just like a past life that's dead to you?
It honestly is a distant, I mean, it's so long ago that it basically is so distant and, yeah. and sort of a dead life to me. But, I do have, I'd be lying if I said my life hasn't been affected by having been assigned male at birth.
Yeah.
But there was never a moment in time, you can go back in a time machine, there was never a moment in time where you would look at me and be like, that's a nice young man, a man,
oh,
that's
really?
A manly, like, never.
Yeah.
It would all be like, what's wrong with that girl? What? Like, it was always that. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So it was there the whole time. And my yeah. struggle was like balancing, you know, the inner with the outer. And, you know, that's kind of a really sort of very sort of trite way to put it. It's old fashioned. But, you know, I don't think that there was anything about me that was inherently very macho or masculine or that commanded space as someone who was perceived as male. Mm-hmm. I rejected whatever was bestowed upon me. I rejected, with the exception of, obviously, you know, I had to go into the men's or the boys' room to go to use the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Like,
there was no way around that. But everything else, honey, whether it was fashion, whether it was the way I talked or moved, who I was connected with, what I watched, what I did, where when and where I wanted to be, had nothing to do with like what all the other little boys wanted.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in, to the Boy Scouts because my mother wanted me to be in, she was punishing me. And she wanted me to be in something after school. And so she signed me up for the Boy Scouts. And I was like, I can't believe this. You're killing me. I felt like she was killing me. Like,
yeah, because out of all the after school groups, that sounds like literally the worst one.
It's like military. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And just, you want me just to be, have, you know, something to do, and you're giving me this?
I want to tie knots in the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want any of this. And she signed me up, and I felt like she was killed. I was like, Mom, you're killing, you're going to kill me. It's hurting me. This is like killing my spirit.
Yeah. Your soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, you're going. And so she had me in this vile outfit. It was not cute. And I don't even remember. It was honestly quite traumatic for me.
Yeah.
And we went to the meeting, and I was crying the whole time going to the meeting. And of course we were late, because, you know, we're just late. And we got into the meeting, and it was like a whole room of all these like little white troops or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And I was like, I walked in, and you know those scenes in horror movies when it's like, like a vampire, like the vampire's lair, and like the one human walks into the lair, and all
everyone turns.
No, they just know. That's what it was, and they were like,
and you're like, see, Mom.
And I was like,
did your mom see that?
Yeah.
Did your mom see that?
I obviously stayed for the meeting. I don't remember what happened. I just remember, I don't think I said a word. And I remember they were looking at me the whole, it was just like the weirdest thing. I honestly don't remember what happened, but clearly I stayed. Honey, after that meeting, I got in that car, and there was a power dynamic shift. I was like, bitch, I am never going back there again. I was like 8 years old. I was like, I am never going back there again.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, oh, okay.
We hope you enjoyed that excerpt from our interview with Ms. Peppermint. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to Luminary, where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month. And you hear other great podcasts that are also only available on Luminary, from the minds of Trevor Noah, Roxanne Gay, Michael Rapaport, Lena Dunham, and more.
That's right. The URL for that is luminarypodcasts.com. And stay tuned tomorrow. We have a Halloween drunk advice episode coming at you.
Spooky.